would like to start with Hurricane Helene relief if we could. We saw last week a bill pass the House that would give those in Western North Carolina over $500 million in relief. Do you anticipate some changes to any action that the Senate might take with that bill?
Yeah, so I don't know specifically what we'll end up doing differently, if anything. I do know from a timing standpoint, we've had some of our members working on this over the weekend, and I expect that we'll start to see committee work on that bill this week in the Senate, hopefully so we can get it out quickly so that the additional relief that is needed in Western North Carolina can get out there.
There's been obviously a lot made about Hurricane Helene relief as it relates to this year's budget, but also trying to replenish the rainy day fund while addressing some of the other needs like the state health plan. How do you balance all of that within this budget, Senator?
It's just a matter of looking at what we can expect to come in terms of revenue, whether it's regular state revenue, whether it's money from the federal government through the various federal programs, or whether it's money that we have in reserves, and then make a determination on a prioritization basis where those dollars can be deployed. Obviously, there are a number of things in the context of Hurricane Helene that are priorities, and one of the big priorities is to make sure that we meet the state match of the federal dollars that are coming in, and the other priorities are that, to the extent that we have processes that we deal with in response to disasters, that we fund those programs as we have in the past. So taking care of our road infrastructure, taking care of the water and sewer systems that may have been knocked out, taking care of some roads and bridges, whether they be public or private, addressing some other issues as far as housing for people who have been displaced as a result of the hurricane. All of those things are things that that we have historically addressed with both federal and state dollars, and we expect to do that again this time. And it's a matter of whether or not those dollars are actually getting to the people and to the situations that need repair. I continue to see reports out of Western North Carolina where there are still piles of debris that haven't been cleared away. There are people who continue to have questions about what the relief is going to be for them with reference to their living circumstances. So we've got a ways to go, and the legislature is intent on making sure that to the extent that there are things that state government needs to do, that we are going to do.
What about the state health plan, Senator? Obviously, the treasurer has been very out front about some of the issues with the state health plan. How do you work to tackle some of those challenges moving forward?
Years ago, the state health plan was actually managed through the legislature, and determination was made that the last thing you need is 170 part-time legislators on a day-to-day basis having the responsibility for managing the day-to-day operations of the state health plan. So we gave that responsibility to the state treasurer's office. Since that happened, former treasurer Janet Cowell, former treasurer Falwell, and now treasurer Brad Briner have worked to address what really is one of the biggest challenges in state government. And I know that Treasurer Briner has been studying this. I think he has settled on a plan to address the expense to state employees, but also to address the need to make sure that the fund is solvent. And I expect him to present that to the General Assembly and for us to consider the necessary funding to make sure that our state employees and retirees have access to the health care that they need.
Visiting with Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger, Senator, you filed a bill in the Senate yesterday that relates to DEI policies within public schools. What were the biggest things you wanted to accomplish with that bill you filed?
Well, we've seen over the years these DEI programs evolve into policies and practices that, instead of promoting concepts, such as diversity, equality, inclusiveness, you know, in their generally understood definitions, they've become the exact opposite of that. And they've promoted divisive concepts, promoted ideas such as one race is inherently good and one race is inherently bad, and, you know, those sorts of things. And so we just need to, you know, get rid of this root and branch. And the bill that was introduced yesterday is a continuation of an effort that we began several years ago to deal with critical race theory and some other similar concepts that have taken root in various places. And so this bill will eliminate DEI positions, will prohibit the teaching of those divisive concepts in ways that, you know, promote or require people to believe certain things. It's similar to what's taking place at the federal level. The Trump administration is trying to do the same thing with federal agencies. The UNC campuses are moving in this direction. And we felt like it was time for our K-12 and charter schools to have the same sort of direction from the legislature.
Also a bill that could be voted on this week in the Senate, Senator, that would impact the state attorney general, Jeff Jackson, not allow him to sue the president over any executive order. Is your perspective on that bill?
You know, I think the people of the state want an attorney general that is concentrating on issues involving state government and the necessary functions of the attorney general's office, representing the state in criminal appeals, that sort of thing. And I dare say President Trump was pretty clear when he was running for office the sorts of things that he intended to do at the federal level. And I dare say that Attorney General Jackson was not very clear on where he stood on those issues. And for him to partner with Democratic attorneys general in other states in attempting to push back against Trump initiatives, he is not addressing the will of the people of the state of North Carolina as expressed by them in the election that that just took place. And we don't want him wasting our tax dollars on that sort of thing.
Two thoughts on it before I let you go, Senator. We've heard a lot about Medicaid, potential cuts there at the federal level. Are you worried about impacts that would have on so many North Carolinians?
So if, in fact, the cuts that are being being threatened by Democrats, quite frankly, they're the ones that are talking about how much is going to be cut from Medicaid, and I think it's likely just another scare tactic on the part of Democratic politicians. You know, the president's been very clear, no cuts to Social Security, no cuts to Medicare, no cuts to Medicaid. I do think that what we've seen from DOGE is there is a world of waste, fraud, and abuse at the federal level in various programs. And I dare say that they can begin the process of getting us to a balanced budget without the sort of cuts that the Democrats are threatening.
Senators, I'll let you go. This is not really in the purview of the General Assembly, but would like your perspective on that state Supreme Court race between Allison Riggs and Jefferson Griffin.
Yeah, I think we need to let that play out in the court. I think Judge Griffin has raised some valid issues as to how the State Board of Elections has conducted the elections in North Carolina, and particularly how it may have impacted the outcome on that particular race. We have, for a pretty good period of time, had real concerns about whether or not the members, the Democratic members of the State Board of Elections, have made decisions that are more partisan than they are practical as far as the conduct of elections. And I think it needs to play out in the courts. We need to determine whether or not the State Board has actually violated state law by allowing certain processes and procedures to take place, and whether or not those violations have impacted the outcome of that race.
Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger. Senator, always appreciate your time and your perspective and your candor, and look forward to visiting again sometime soon.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be with you.
You as well.